sound as it rings and it pulls me away. Knock 'em dead when you finally get to the city. Hear the sound as it rings and it pulls me away. Further from the country. Knock 'em dead when you finally get to the city.
You can use she, her pronouns.
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey there, everybody. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, an arts talk radio show. I'm Zoe LeBron, and with me today...
Derek Breckner.
Hi, Derek. How are you today?
Good. Good. It's 1 week before Fun Drive.
Yes, it is. Fun Drive... So we're going to be accepting donations for our fun drive week, I guess 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely have lots of information for you about that coming up soon. And yeah, excited about it.
Yeah, there's a few events happening in the city. So a couple of things happening tomorrow night, right?
Yes, tomorrow is First Fridays, so there's lots of stuff that'll be going on. There's going to be a performance at Platform Center for Photographic and Digital Arts by Nancy Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be at 7 p.m. There's also a the Foundation Mentorship Program opening at MAWA, 6
p.m. That's tomorrow night too as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the next Urban Shaman show, We Tend to Care, is also opening tomorrow night.
There we go.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So that's just artist-run centers.
Yeah, and there's probably way more than that.
Yeah.
Those are just the three off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, great. So we have somebody here today to talk about an exhibition as well that's currently up in Portage la Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've heard, this is from a former co-host who said that one time she was listening to CKW and she could hear us almost on the way to Portage la Prairie.
Oh, wow.
So that was only like on a good day when the weather is really good. So they might hear us today, maybe with all the beautiful weather we've been having today. But
amazing.
Yeah. So well, we have Jude Pallas. Jude has an exhibition that's currently up in Portage la Prairie, and Jude is also an exceptional fine arts student doing her BFA degree at the University of Manitoba School of Art, and she's here today to tell us about her show and her work, and we're probably going to get her to talk about art school if she doesn't mind. Hi, Jude. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks so much for coming on the air with us today. Why don't we dive in and talk a little bit about I Do Not Make Art for Anyone, I Make Art for You. It's a really fun title.
Thank you. It's actually my debut exhibit, so it has shown in one other spot before it was at Prairie Fusion Arts and Entertainment. It was first showing at AANM, or Arts Accessibility Network of Manitoba.
They're on Albert, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's 16 pieces of work included in the exhibit. it started taking formation in 2019, and then it just finished up kind of in early 2025.
Amazing. So this has been a body of work long in the making.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, it's mainly just to kind of get used to creating exhibits and just getting a feel for what I would like in an exhibit. So this is kind of, as my debut, it's really just to kind of facilitate a dialogue with myself and the viewer.
Yeah, perfect.
And is all the work in the show, I'm going to talk about process a little bit, if that's
Absolutely.
Okay. Is all the work in the show created digitally?
Yes, okay. It is. I use an iPad and an Apple Pencil.
And Procreate?
Yes, Procreate. I only use two styles of pencil, though, and then everything else is kind of made to look very traditional.
It's very, very intricate and quite loaded up. Mm-hmm. And you've been working this way for a while. Like you've always had this ability to load up a lot of things into your imagery.
Thank you.
I feel like it's even happening more so in a good way, of course.
Yes, I kind of like to one up myself with each piece of work that I make.
It's a good way to look at it. The only person you're ever in competition with is yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a number one rule for all artists, I think.
I like to live by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you have so many of these beautiful illustrations all up around the gallery. Are they printed and framed, or?
Yes, yeah. They are, they're printed on like kind of a glossy surface just to give it that finished look. And then they're framed, most of them to the exact size. Some of them are, I have this bad habit that I mainly used to have this. I try not to do this anymore. But when I make a canvas size as a file, I will make it just the weirdest proportions ever. Like
nothing standard.
No, nothing standard. And actually, my mom would tell me all the time, like, you have to start making your canvases a normal size. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that now, but when I was starting out, it was really frustrating having to frame them just because of that.
Oh, because your ratio was very different, or
yeah, like it would be like
really elongated.
It would be something like that, like 11.58 inches, or.
But it's kind of more fun to work that way, though.
Honestly,
right?
Honestly, I do find it quite fun to like kind of frame down my canvas however I'd like.
Yeah.
But then once I have to print and frame it, I end up regretting it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, with like different canvas aspect ratios, it's definitely like it helps you tell the story, right?
Yeah.
And like when I look at your work, I definitely feel like there's a lot of story embedded in them.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad. I'm actually working on right now kind of a continuous narrative between a lot of the pieces that I have now and then some that I plan on creating soon. But I've made these two characters that I would like to base the story around. Mm. And then some characters that have reappeared in some of my works that I plan on incorporating into the story.
Beautiful. What kind of story will it be?
It'll be heavily surrealist, just because a lot of my work is made that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I find comfort in surrealism.
Yeah, fair enough. You think that's just because like you can kind of like sublimate content like into different visual imagery and like kind of like talk about stuff without having to like full on depict it?
Yeah, you actually hit the nail on the head right there.
Score, because I do it too.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, the idea of like surrealism as a genre is like so powerful in those ways.
Yeah, and I mean, you can really make whatever you want. There's little to no rules with surrealism. I find it very, very freeing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Would you also consider yourself as a symbolist paint, like a symbolist artist?
I would like to think so.
I mean, Yeah, like, I mean, definitely, I mean, I'm getting a definite sort of language with surrealism being used in a really interesting way. But I also, just getting back to my comment earlier about the fact that you load up the image with so many things, and I'm getting a sense, like, looking at them, that a lot of the imagery that you're using has reference for you or means something for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything means something in each of my works. I mean, there's very little detail that is kind of just there for decoration. I really try to, as you said, load up the canvas with as much explanation as I can while still making it very vague so that anyone can relate to each piece.
Yeah, like, so you're not like taking the viewer by the hand and giving them like a didactic story, but you are giving them a lot in terms of potentially what you've got for subject matter. I mean, there's just so many things, and it's kind of orchestrated in a way that I don't see a lot of. I see, like, there's a lot of interesting kind of combinations that are going on, and I think the fact that you're working digitally too, like, it says to me that this is a person that's also aware of working with their hands and working traditionally.
Yes, I had gotten quite used to working traditionally, and I mean, yeah, I still enjoy it from time to time, but I've found that I've really gotten comfortable with my style now.
Yeah.
And so lately I'm trying out a few different, like, ways of coloring things, just to keep things interesting while still, you know, honing my own style.
And just getting back to the process of you making, like, I remember seeing you working on your iPad, and there's I don't know, there's a kind of a physicality to the way you're rendering, you know, like it's quick, and it's like you're after texture, and
yes.
Yeah, so yeah, there's still that physicality, even though you are working on a screen with a pen. You know, I think that it's interesting how you're able to kind of combine that physical world of that traditional.
This is RCMP Dangerous Person Alert, Pimisikamak Cree Nation. This is RCMP Dangerous Person Alert for Pimisikamak Cree Nation. RCMP has issued a dangerous person alert for 39-year-old Joshua Papanagas, last seen early this morning in community when he abducted 20-year-old Rayanne Thomas. Police fear for her life. Don't approach. Call RCMP 204-677-6200.
Try to kind of give it an abrasive, almost traditional look to each of my works with the style that I use.
Because I'm, you know, like I'm thinking about, like, for instance, this work that Zoe and I are looking at. I will not, and not is in brackets, Let You Heal, 2023, and it's 24 inches by 18 inches. And, you know, there's a lot of flat colors in it, but then you go into it with all the flat colors and you're kind of texturing it through rendering and hatching.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. That piece in particular is part one of a 4-part series, actually.
Hmm. Can you talk about this piece a little bit more? Maybe describe it for our listeners
absolutely.
A bit.
And actually, when I was attending Concordia in Montreal in 2023,
Yeah, we lost you to Montreal and Concordia, but we got you back.
Yes, just like, for a year.
you thought Montreal was going to be way better, but
it's different for sure. we had to create a series of works. It was a pretty open-ended project, and I decided that I really wanted to focus on characters instead of kind of just focusing on detail for once. And I mean, I think I still achieve that to an extent, because it's what I'm used to. But with these characters, I created two different new characters, and then I kind of built on another set of characters that had already been created in 2019. And it's pretty symbolic for my own personal relationships. And how I perceive them, how they're useful to me, how I'm useful to them, while still remaining pretty vague.
I would say poetically vague.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's really open to interpretation. Like in this particular image, we are seeing like really heavy medical themes.
Yes.
And like all the nurses and doctors around are little pink bunnies, and it's like very cute, but also like, at least for me, when I think of hospitals, like it's anything but cute. And there's yes. like that sort of dressing up that happens, especially in kids' hospitals, where they're trying to make it really fun and comfortable and cute, but then like there's still this like sterility and like clinical undertone to everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the pink bunnies are supposed to be kind of like platonic relationships that I have with people. They're meant as a reminder that while they're there to help, it can be difficult for people to understand your own personal issues.
Totally. Yeah.
Like for me, when I look at this, it, you know, like there's, you know, like you're just very good at formally organizing the picture plane.
Thank you.
You know, like I think that for me, like, yes, you've got the bunnies and they're all kind of strategically placed in the composition. And then you've got these tubes which are lacing through the bottom left corner of the work, almost to the point where it's almost like spaghetti.
Yes.
You know, in terms of like there's a dense overlapping of this tubing. And so you have a very interesting way you lead the viewer's eye around. And then you've got these like pill bottles, which are kind of like stacked, and then one's tilted with some sort of pills, you know, sort of cascading out. And then you've got this dense background of different things. And it's just, yeah, like, and this is just one image that I'm describing here, but like, you know, all of your work is kind of consistently operating this way in terms of that there's stuff going on in the background, there's stuff going on in the foreground, there's stuff going on in the middle ground. And, and I think that you're very conscious of how you're leading the viewer's eye around. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I do place things quite strategically. Usually in a way that like I want people to look here first and then I want them to look over here, so I'll add some detail in the corner.
Yeah. Where did you get that desire to want to do that? I mean, I think it's a good desire. I'm just kind of curious how that kind of developed for you.
I do think a part of it is me being a control freak in the way that I'm like, well, I want people to look here first.
So you're a little bit of a perfectionist then?
A little bit, yeah for sure. I would say one of my pieces takes up to 2 weeks to make. And I know that doesn't seem like much time for some people. But
it's a long time. I mean, if you because it's like when 40 hours a week, that's 80 hours a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like you're not talking like, you know, a couple hours a week here and a couple hours a week there. Like there's lot of work in these things.
Yeah, it's usually a couple hours to a few hours each day over the course of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and it shows.
Thank you.
So just to interrupt for a second, we're just in the middle of a conversation here with Jude Pallas. Jude has a show up that's currently up at Portage La Prairie. And we're here talking with Jude. We'll be here talking with her for another 12, 13 minutes, just a little bit before 6. And can you give us the dates for the exhibition and the name of the space again in Portage La Prairie, Jude?
Yeah, absolutely. It is up at Prairie Fusion Arts and Entertainment. It opened January 20th, and it will be up until February 26th at 7 p.m. when they close.
There we go.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's really great that, you know, you're not even finished art school and you're already showing. I think that's really great.
Yeah.
I think... we're starting to see more of that now, which I'm very pleased to see. So that's I think that's just a good thing to kind of start doing even before you're out of school, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have something on your resume before getting out of school for sure.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is I get the feeling from you is that I think that you're very committed to this style of working in this practice of yours, but I get the feeling like as a student, you're also kind of flexible and you're willing to try a lot of different other things too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
which I think it's important at this point.
Yeah. I think it's really important to build that foundation of knowledge and try as many things as you can in school before you graduate, and then you don't have as much time to do that anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, for some people that might have been annoying to hear me say that, but it's just my teacher hat going on for a second. It just kind of popped up without me expecting it, but you know. But yeah, like I, you know, and that's the sense I get with you, is that you know, like that you still see, you know, like there's a dual path for you in terms of how you're working, and that you're committed to this kind of approach, but you're also open enough and see the value of trying a lot of different things in this dual path. So one path is kind of focusing on this work that we're seeing at in Portage la Prairie, and then another path is kind of trying other things. And I would argue that ultimately, that other path may start to feed the main body of work that's going on, and vice versa, you know?
I'm hoping that's the plan. For my next exhibit, I'd love to do something with video. I wasn't expecting to be as passionate about video as I thought I would be, but I took...
Yeah, you took a class with Freya Olsen.
Yeah, I took a couple classes with Freya, and I really, really enjoyed them. So yeah. I would love to continue experimenting with video.
Are you doing animation, or are you?
No.
Okay. Oh, kind
no,
of curious.
Actually, when
I'm
very I had,
curious what you're doing.
it's mainly work inspired by nostalgia. I like to use this like digital camera that I've had since 2008 that my dad got me actually. I really enjoy kind of like the gritty quality of it. I just find that it has like a nice home video look.
You like the grain.
I do. I'm very much into grain.
I think amazing. I think Zoe and I are into grain too. So
really?
So
yeah. I love that. I love filming with my Digicam.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's so accessible, and it's so easy. I guess the hard part is, depending on when your digital camera is from, is finding like the compatible wires to hook up to new computers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The adapters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an SD card girly. Like
me too.
SD card, you just pop it in and it's fine.
Yeah. Me no, too. I know my camera has this one specific card. I can't remember the name of it, but apparently they don't make it anymore. So I'm putting like all my bets into that one camera and just hoping things work out forever.
Hey, listen, do you mind if I change topic a little bit?
Absolutely.
Like I'm wondering like, if we can think about Jude Pelles before they went to art school, what made you decide to go to art school?
I actually was hoping to get into animation when I had enrolled in the U of M, and I know that we don't have a lot of animation programs or classes, but my plan was to do a year at the University of Manitoba and then transfer to Capilano in Vancouver. I never ended up doing that. my plans changed quite a bit. I just kind of fell in love with drawing. I really enjoy drawing as a form of art, as a form of therapy, as a form of journaling. There's something very comforting about it. And I think it's because, I mean, as a kid, I used to draw all over my homework and I would get in trouble for it all the time. And now that is my homework. So it's kind of healing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I like that.
So any advice for people just starting out in art school? Like for those first year people, that people are coming in first year, or maybe the high school people that are thinking about going to art school?
I would say be open to changing your mind. Yeah. There is so many different forms of art out there, and there are so many things that you might not realize that you enjoy. And I think it's important to just constantly be open to change.
Yeah, I mean, this is my teacher hat barking again, but I always tell students, it's not that the things you do is wrong, but sometimes it's just good to temporarily turn them off so that you can try other things.
Absolutely.
And then you can always turn them back on later.
Yeah. I mean, even incorporating what you do know with something new can be a good way to kind of dip your toes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So do you want to give us some like online information, like information about the exhibition, maybe your Instagram page?
Yeah, I have my own Instagram. It is just my first and last name, Jude Palace. And then the exhibit info you can find at Prairie Fusion's website. Mm-hmm. There should be another of the same exhibit on the Arts Accessibility Network of Manitoba in their online archives. I would have to double check to see if it's still there, but it should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, prairiefusion.ca will have the information regarding the exhibit that's on right now.
Yeah, and that exhibition is called I Do Not Make Art for Anyone, I Make Art for You, and it's going to be on until the 26th of February at 7 p.m.
That's right. So we got a little ways to go see it. So if you're on your way out to Portage la Prairie, definitely check it out.
It is a bit of a drive, but it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Haven't been there in ages.
Yeah.
It was actually my first time heading out there when I was setting up my work. It's a beautiful area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard good things.
Who's running that space?
A woman named Lee Beaton.
Okay, do you want to give a shout out to her?
Absolutely. She's been a ton of help this month and the last month. She made the work look absolutely beautiful in the space. It fills it out really well. She helped organize the opening reception. She's been a huge help, so shout out Lee Beaton.
Okay. How did you get connected with her?
I actually just applied to their open call, and I said, hey, I have an exhibit here that I would like to display. It's been displayed only once before. And then it was a long period of waiting and a bit of rescheduling just because of the really awful weather the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
But it's all... It's all figured out now. It's up.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And look forward to seeing other exhibitions of yours in the future. I'm sure they'll happen. I'm very curious about your video work.
You mentioned video. Derek is fixated.
Yes. I remember.
Yeah. You know, like me and Zoe both work in video. So it's like,
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Jude. It's been lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks. So that's it. Thank you again, Jude Palace, and all the best with your work that's currently up and future shows, which I'm sure will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so Zoe and I will be back next week live Thursday at 5:30, and we will begin our fun drive episode.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's going to be the first fun drive ever that Derek and I are both here.
At the same time.
Yes.
That's right.
Which is very exciting because it means I don't have to do it alone.
That's right. And we're gonna talk about all those great reasons as to why you should be supporting commercial-free radio.
Yeah. And if you want to pre-pledge today, you can reach out to Derek or myself over, I guess, social media.
Yeah.
Mine is Zo_LeBrun, Zo_LeBrun. On Instagram?
Yeah, I'm just Derek Breckner on everything. Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah. Well, yeah, give us a shout and stay tuned for Tawny the Brave. We're going to leave you with a song called Milk Sick by Hecla Island today because I feel milk sick.
There we go.
Hope you all have a lovely evening.
Okay, I hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Okay. Talk to everybody Thursday, 5:30. Bye-bye.
Bye.